Welcome everyone to today's call. As a great hockey blogger and supporter of Versus, you have been granted exclusive access to an interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. Please remember, any reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. I would like to welcome you to this exclusive interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. We are thrilled to have Brian with us today, along with everyone else on the call. We have compiled a terrific group of hockey bloggers, and we are excited to hear what everyone has to say. Let's go ahead and jump right into the question and answer portion of this call. But first, Brian, it's great to have you here today, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's always great to get a chance to contact and get in contact with fans directly and answer their questions. And usually the only for the usual format is through radio telecast when people call in and our broadcast, I mean. So I'm looking forward to this. Anybody have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. It's great.
Great. We'll go ahead to Kat Court in Dallas, Texas. Your line is open.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Good. Thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. I was wondering what you think of the Dallas Stars' rough start to the season, particularly after that awesome playoff run last season.
I am in complete dismay. Plain and simple. I cannot believe – I was talking to some players, some hockey guys down at the Pepsi Center here in Denver this morning at the morning skate in Calgary, and we brought up Dallas. I brought it up and said, can you believe what's happened to these guys since the playoffs last year? And everybody went, nope. And several guys said, I still like their team. I said, I do too. They have a really good team. You look at them and you go, how the heck are they screwing this up this badly? And obviously that's what Dave Tippett and his staff are trying to figure out. And it's obviously a very inexact science, or they would have fixed it already. There are X's and O's involved to it. I can't believe how badly they play in their own end, especially for a team that prides itself on positioning and execution. And Dave Tippett is an excellent coach. His staff is really good. They get it. They know how to train players. They know how to look at tape and pull things apart and come up with answers. I think that Marty Turco was playing terrible early in the year. I think he's better now. But it doesn't show because his team is playing terrible in front of him. They come back into their zone, and they look like a team that's never been instructed about where to go and what to do in their own end. And when you start leaking that badly in your own zone, then, you know, you're getting pounded by your coach. You know, even as players, okay, we gotta clean this up. And then you keep losing, and then you start squeezing the stick. And the hardest thing in the world is to go and be creative offensively when you're losing games. You know, and because offense is about relaxing and letting your instincts take over and scoring goals and making plays. That is a relaxed sort of mental state of mind. When you're losing games and everybody's dumping stuff on you and you know you're in it up to your neck and you got to go out there and relax, oh, yeah, you try that. Yeah, it's really fun. So it feeds on itself, and it becomes a mental process now that Dallas has to work themselves out. They know the good news for them is they know they have a team that's way better than what they're showing right now. It's not as if they're playing that bad and they say, we don't have the horses to get out of this. We got no shot. We're going to be buried all year long. That's not the Dallas Stars. So they can come out of it. They're going to have to get on a roll, and they can't afford to let themselves get buried here by too many points, you know, too many points away from a playoff spot. But I think the Dallas Stars are still capable of getting themselves back into it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. We'll go ahead to Corey Johnson in Toronto, Canada. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. I'm from HockeyLeaks.com, and my question for you is, there's a lot of speculation this week about Brian Burt coming to Toronto. Do you think he's the right guy for the job, or should they look elsewhere?
Well, Corey, I'm a big Brian Burt fan. I like him. I think he's good for the league. You definitely know where he stands all the time. He's a very, very straightforward guy. He's been in hockey, you know, his entire life. He did a terrific job in Anaheim. I think he did a real good job in Vancouver. I think he knows how to put together an excellent hockey team. And let's face it, Toronto is the most difficult market there is to deal with from management and coaching style point of view and the players, because it's the center of the hockey NHL universe, because all the media sort of runs through there. And it's intense. It is extremely intense. Some players and some management people are not made for that. And so I think that it has a unique set of circumstances where you would look and say, well, would this coach or GM be good in Toronto? And you say, no, they wouldn't be able to deal with it. Some players, I think, end up there and go, you can tell, they just can't handle it. So I think Brian Burke is one of those guys that can handle it for sure, because he knows how to handle the media and not let them manhandle him. And as I said earlier, I think he has the NHL experience and wherewithal to put together a good team over the next couple of years, and that's important. They obviously feel that way too. This has not exactly been a secret that Brian Burke was headed in that direction. Having said that, I think that Cliff Fletcher and Joe Nieuwendyk and the other people that are involved this year since the summer have done a really nice job. I'm really surprised, quite frankly, at how well Toronto has done. And Ron Wilson, by the way, obviously deserves a lot of credit. He's instilled a lot of stuff in that team, that young team, very quickly. And even though they're a little under 500, I'm actually quite shocked that they're as high up as they are in the standings. And I think they've all done a very nice job to this point.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Let's go to Monica, also in Toronto, Canada. Your line's open.
Hello, Brian. You spent 6 years playing alongside Bob Gainey, or should I say he was up there in front of you. Now, a couple of weeks ago, he suggested that shot blocking only be allowed if a player has one skate on the ice. As a former defenseman, what's your take on that? And I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks.
Sure. Well, Monica, it was interesting to hear that. Bob's a very progressive thinker, and I think that, you know, because it came from him, it gained, you know, a lot of notice right away, his suggestion. He's trying to come up with more ways to get, you know, keep offense or get even more offense into the game. Because over the years, we have found, certainly over the last 10 years, that coaching has come so far ahead of where it was, you know, a generation ago. There is an answer for everything now, and there's a system to shut down almost any offense that you're going to face. So I think that's where his thinking is. How do we get more scoring chances? How do we get, you know, more goals? And his thought was, you know, everybody now is trained. When I played, we had guys who wouldn't go out to block a shot. We used to call it the flamingo. Guys would forward to go out to the point to try to block a shot. They'd lift one leg and kind of close one eye and say, geez, I hope it doesn't hit that leg. Now everybody is trained to block shots, and you are expected to block shots, even in October, not just in March and April when you're trying to get into the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, guys sacrifice themselves like you wouldn't believe. That's why we see a lot of fractured legs now and ankle injuries, et cetera, because players don't get out of the way. They get in the way. Shooting lanes are clogged all the time. So Bob's thinking was, well, let's eliminate the guys who are sliding and taking everything away and make them stay at least on 1 foot. So you still can block a shot, but there's more room for a shooter to get it through. If I come out at you and I'm, you know, on 2 feet and I'm trying to block it, you can find a way to get a shot to the net. But if I'm laying down on the ice and you got to shoot it quickly, it's hard to get it up and over and still get it to the net. So that's what his thinking is. My first reaction was wasn't a big fan because I used to block a lot of shots, and it was one of the things that, you know, that I liked to do because I, you know, I didn't get in on the scoring end of things much. I'm still not sure, to be honest with you, whether that is worthwhile or not. I'm still toying with, yeah, that would help, but wouldn't we just be better off making the nets bigger? You know, because to me, that's the biggest difference in the game. Rather than these small things, I think it still comes down to if you're going to get more goals or more opportunities on net, the goalies are so big compared to when we played. I saw some old footage last week, and I was chuckling looking at the goalies. They look like kids compared to what the goalies look like now. We could see so much more net in the late 70s and 80s and early 90s than you can now. And so if you want to make the biggest change to offense and you really want to open it up, I think you got to add a couple of inches onto the net. And that is a process in my mind that has gone on now for a couple of years, because I've been totally against that. When people first said, oh, make the nets bigger, make them bigger, I went, uh-uh, no, that's crazy. But you know what? I'm headed in that direction now.
Great. We'll go ahead next to Monique in Phoenix. Your line's open.
Hi, Brian. It's Coyote Sipchak again. And, of course, I'd love to hear your opinion on the Phoenix Coyotes and how Wayne Gretzky's doing so far. But I'd also like to know your top young defenseman in the NHL, young being 5 years or less in the league.
Geez, I have to – I mean, you know what? I got a list right here just off the top of my head. It's always good when I can see the names. I think there's a tremendous amount of young talent in the NHL, and that's great, especially the defensemen. It's close to my heart, naturally. I think that if you look at the top scoring defensemen in the league, Shea Weber is a terrific young player that doesn't get enough credit for how good he is, because he's playing in Nashville, and, you know, exposure for him is not the same as guys like Dion Phaneuf, who's playing in Calgary, who I think is fantastic, too. Big, strong, tough, huge shot. You know, those guys are at the top of my list. Mike Green in Washington, and all of a sudden just took a giant step forward about, you know, a year and a half ago, and now is one of the most dynamic defensemen in the NHL, because he has tremendous speed, and he just, you know, flies up the ice. And just dominates. He has a dominating presence there. I think he's really terrific. I'm a fan of Brent Burns in Minnesota, kid who came in at 18 years old, and Jacques Lemaire played him some forward, some defense, some forward, some defense. That's really tough to do, you know, especially, you know, when you're a kid. And he didn't want to put too much pressure on him, because playing defense in the NHL is very difficult. If you make mistakes, then it's either a goal or a great scoring chance. If you're a forward and you make a mistake, you still have the defenseman behind you. So that's why your decision-making process as defenseman, and defensemen in general, usually take longer to develop, because you just have to go through the process of making mistakes and finding out when you can make a play, how you read the rush coming at you. There's so many complicated issues and decisions you have to make at high speed, or it turns into a scoring chance or a goal against you. That's why it's difficult. And players who are well-rounded and can play all different, you know, aspects of the game on defense are really fun to watch. I'm a Tom Gilbert fan also in Edmonton. I think he came out of the college system, and I think he played at Wisconsin, and he's very good. He's got offensive skills, and he knows how to read the play. Those would be some of the guys off the top of my head. I know I'm leaving out a ton of other guys too. Komisarek, I'm not sure how many years he's been in the league in Montreal, because you said, what, 5 years or whatever, and it's tough for me to do the math and remember who came in when. I like the way he plays. He's less offensive, but he's a ornery son of a gun to play against in his own end, and very physical. There's a couple for you anyway. Again, you know, off the top of my head, it's tough to I'll think of 19 more names as soon as I'm done talking to you.
Of course. And about the Phoenix Coyotes and how Wayne Gretzky's doing so far?
Oh, yeah. Gretz has done a great job. You know, Gretz is the one of the great minds to ever come into the NHL. His brilliance is one of the things that is certainly talked about, but everybody talks about his records. Well, he got all those points and records because his brain was about two steps ahead of all the rest of us. He was doing things to us when we were trying to defend against him that we're going, where the heck is he going? What is he doing? He's not doing it like everybody else. And then we found out, okay, I guess he's got a couple of pretty good ideas of his own. And then we all started changing to adapt to what he did. He revolutionized the game. So he has things that he can tell his young players that, you know, almost nobody else can. I think that he has learned to be patient. He's a very passionate guy, and it's sometimes his passion overtook him in the past. And he even said that, you know, I've got to settle down a little bit behind the bench and not get so crazy about penalty calls or whatever might have happened. So, he's learning at a faster rate than most guys, and I think he's done a really good job. He's got a lot of young talent on his team. And young players, you have to be patient, and I'm sure there's tons of times he'd love to get out there and just grab a stick and go out there and show them exactly what he could do in a game situation and just take over the game, but he can't. So I think he's done a real nice job, and that Phoenix team is a team definitely to be reckoned with. They're coming on by leaps and bounds.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for participating in today's call. Have a great day.